Actually, Ricky's fellowship this morning was very good concerning turning away from all the distractions. Actually, probably one of the biggest distractions is this little machine. Every morning when I wake up, I do have a certain place. I do have a certain cup of coffee. I go sit down. I start to have a time with the Lord, but my cell phone is right next to me. And it's very easy to begin to be distracted by checking your emails, checking your text, and then start sending texts. And while you're at it, you might check the headlines. And before you know it, you've been pretty well distracted. So it's good to not only hear, but even in your time with the Lord in the morning, to turn off, to stop everything. I don't know if you ever had a conversation with someone. My wife reminds me of this frequently. You're talking with someone. You might say, how was your day? How was your... And you're answering a text at the same time. How's things going? You're answering your text or email at the same time. It's not only distracting, it's kind of rude to the person you're talking to. So we want to have an enjoyable fellowship with the Lord. So we need to turn away and turn our hearts to the Lord to spend time with Him. Well, this morning, this session again, it's following yesterday, we're on the two aspects of the Spirit. And as was brought out yesterday, we're not talking about two spirits. We're talking about two aspects of the one Spirit. The aspect of the Spirit in us and the aspect of the Spirit upon or on us. So we have these, you use these two words, essential and economical. Right? We need the Spirit to be our life within essentially. And we need to be clothed with the Spirit upon us economically. Okay, but there is a little bit of an order. And that is, we need to enjoy the Spirit as life within first. Okay? So one very good example brothers have often used, and that is of a policeman or a firefighter. And of course, we know that a firefighter or a policeman has to put on a certain uniform. This is their clothing without. And that clothing without gives them a certain authority. One time I was driving down the street and there was some construction going on and somebody just got out in the street and started causing people to stop. And I didn't really want to stop. And this man didn't have any uniform. I'm thinking, who is this? Okay. When you have a uniform on, we know you're a police officer, right? Or you're a firefighter. You are clothed in a certain manner. But in order for an officer to be clothed, he has to have a certain kind of constitution or a certain kind of life. Okay? If you're sick, if you're very weak, it's hard to just put on your uniform and go to work and stop traffic and be very use your authority. So sometimes we as believers, we desire to live a normal Christian life and a healthy serving life as a member in the body. And we like to function to preach the gospel and to be a witness for Christ. But sometimes you're getting ready to pray, Lord, clothe me. I want to testify of you. I want to be your witness. Or maybe you don't even pray, but an opportunity all of a sudden opens up with a person right next to you in your class or in your dorm. But you feel so weak and so maybe even sick. So it's hard to put on your robe of authority because your life within is very fragile, very weak. So this morning, we want to consider this matter that we need the Spirit within essentially. And I looked up this word essential. Essential means You have to have this. This is not optional. Right? This is a crucial matter. It's very necessary, very vital, very indispensable for your Christian life. We need to enjoy the Spirit. And if you notice, the title of this whole section is on experiencing the two aspects of the Spirit. So we have the Spirit within and we have the Spirit without. But we need the Spirit within first, and this will complement the Spirit without economically. So, you know, in the Bible, there's an example of when the Lord shared the parable of the sower going forth to sow. There was one time when the enemy came and he sowed tares in the field. And so the tares, I don't know if you ever heard this, but a tare actually looks just like the wheat. So you look at these two bottles here. Okay? They might look exactly the same, and if you're close up front here, you might be able to tell them apart, but if you're in the back, you might not be able to tell. Actually, wheat and tare are very similar looking, but there's a big difference. But maybe it doesn't get manifest for a period of time. Okay? What is the difference? What is the difference between these two bottles? Outwardly, they both look the same. Okay? But inwardly, there's a big difference. This one's empty. There's nothing. Okay? This one is filled. This one has content. This one looks good, but there's no content. And actually, this morning, I'd like to share with you a little bit my testimony. When I was 18 years old, I was a freshman, okay, about 2 hours from here at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. And there was a brother. He had Christ within. He had life within. And he was also clothed without. And he was a bold brother. Not outwardly so aggressive, but he was strong in spirit. What happened? I was visiting him one night in my dorm, and he just asked me straight out. He said, "Marty, are you a real Christian?" And his speaking to me offended me. I said, "What are you talking about? I'm a good guy. I go to church. I believe in God. I'm a pretty nice guy. Why do you ask me if I'm a Christian?" He said, "Well, do you have Christ living within you?" I said, "What is that?" I grew up Roman Catholic. The only thing I heard that I should have within me is communion. You put a piece of bread in your mouth, and then you supposedly have Christ in you. Okay? He told me, no, that's not the way it works. Then he shared with me a verse in the Bible, and this verse is very appropriate for this morning. There is a record in the Bible in 1 John chapter 5. It says, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life." And I was totally shocked when he shared that with me, that the Bible actually said some have the Son, but some do not have the Son. Okay? So here I was. I had religion. I had 12 years of religious private education. Okay? I was a church goer. I went to church every day of my primary education. I was a good guy, okay? But I did not have the Son. Therefore, the Bible says I did not have the life, okay? So no matter how much the bottles look the same, either you have the Son or you don't have the Son. Then they share with me, you know, the simple verses in the Bible, like John 14:6. where the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. All right? John 1:4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then John 10:10, the Lord said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. The Lord came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Okay. Well, it all sounded good to me, but I still didn't have it. So then he got real practical and he told me John 1:11-12. The Lord came purposely to the Jews, but those who were His own, the Jewish people, those who were His own, did not receive Him. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gives the authority to become the children of God. Okay, so anyway, at that time, that was my first private time with the Lord. Talk about a special place. That was a very special place. I went back to my room. My roommate was gone. I locked the door. And I knelt down. And I said, Lord Jesus, I don't know if you're in me or not. If you are in me, that's good. If you're not in me, Lord, I receive you. Come into me. Be life to me. That was my beginning. That was my regeneration. I got born again. I received the life of God. I became a child of God. Okay, it's wonderful to become a child. But I don't know if you ever, we were all born once as children. We know that's not the end, that's the beginning. I had the experience of seeing a couple of my children born. Okay? When children are born, do you know what happens? Soon as they're born, they start crying out and breathing. Breathing. A person begins life by breathing. Then guess what they do? Maybe you're familiar with this. The very next thing a child does when they're born, they breathe and they start drinking. Right? Take the baby, put it on its mother's breast, and begin to drink. So wonderful, right? Breathing and drinking. That's how life begins. Guess how life continues? Breathing and drinking. Okay? What are you breathing? You're breathing in life. You're breathing in the living air. Okay? So anyway, that's our topic for today. Breath and water. What do we need? We need air. Oh, thank you. Okay. I'll be sure to keep my name tag close by. We need air and we need water. Right? We need to breathe and we need to drink. So this is really the meaning of our Christian life. The meaning of our human life is to have Christ as our life. Right? You have to have the Son to have life. So if you have Christ, you have life. So this very essential, this is an essential requirement, not only for the beginning of life, but also for the sustaining of life. We need air and we need water. Of course, this is a big conversation almost daily nowadays, especially in California, is there an adequate supply of water? Okay? And everyone's checking about the quality of our air. Right? These two things, these are indispensable. These are crucial, vital requirements to have life. So you think about our physical life is very much a reflection of our spiritual life. Okay, so I don't know if you do this. I do this pretty regularly, at least once a year. Go visit the doctor. Get an annual checkup. You know, one of the first things the doctor does when he gives you a checkup, he checks your breathing. right? All over different places, and he tells you, breathe. Breathe again. Check you here, your back, all over. Okay? He wants to know how is your breathing? Right? So we need to get a little checkup. Right? We shouldn't have any obstruction. Right? We want an easy flow of the life within us. We need our breathing. We need to take care of our breathing. Okay, so if we look at the outline, it says, in the Lord's resurrection, the spirit of resurrection life is likened to breath, breathed into the disciples for their spiritual being and living essentially. So as Bill mentioned yesterday, the essential aspect of the spirit is for our existence, is for our being, for our life. How can we live a Christian life? How can we have a normal vitality? In fact, at the Memorial Day conference, the brother shared, when we pray for a new revival, we're not just praying one day, oh, something's going to come upon us and happen. The new revival is just going to come in. What we need is a revived, healthy state. We need a revival in our health. We need to be healthy, normal Christians, essentially, who are filled with life. I don't know if you ever heard this before. I just read this. You know how many times you breathe a day? I guess some people study these things. We breathe 20,000. A person on average breathes about 20,000 times a day. Okay? He's breathing. You're not even conscious of it. How many breaths have you taken so far today? Hundreds, maybe thousands already. Okay? We are breathing. So in our Christian life, we think if you need to breathe so much for your physical life, how about your spiritual life? We need breathing. We need to breathe the Lord in. We need to breathe ourselves into a revived, healthy state. So breathing gives us a fresh supply. Breathing makes us vital. Breathing, like we noticed in the hymn this morning, we can also breathe out. We can detoxify, right? Get out all the things of ourself and our sin and our sorrow. We breathe out. And we can breathe Christ in, breathe in His fullness. So A says, on the night of resurrection, the Lord came into the midst of the disciples and breathed into them a breath, saying, receive the Holy Spirit. So it's very similar to the night I got saved. Someone told me, you need to receive. It's exactly what the Lord told the disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit. The word spirit is equivalent to the word breath. Receive the holy breath. Receive the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for spirit in this verse is pneuma, a word that is used for breath, spirit, and wind. Therefore, this verse can be rightly translated, receive the holy breath. This is the Lord's breathing of the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, as breath into the disciples on the evening of the day of resurrection. Breath is for? Breath is for? And signifies life. Thus, breath here is a symbol of the Holy Spirit as the inward spirit of life. Hallelujah. The Lord came to give us life and life more abundantly. And we already saw, where is this life? This life is in the Son. But we also know that the last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. So today, the Spirit is the reality of the Son. The Spirit is the Son reaching us, right? That He could impart Himself into our spirit. So B says, the consummated Spirit, as the breath, is everything to us in living the Christian life. I don't know if you ever heard something like this. Only the breath, the Spirit, can be a Christian. Right? Can you be a good Christian? Maybe many of you, like me, tried. You tried it. Sometimes when you're sharing the gospel, people tell you, I'm trying to be a good Christian. What should you say? Keep trying. You can try. But actually, only the Spirit. We need another life. Only the Spirit can be a Christian. And only the breath, the Spirit, can be an overcomer. Right? We're not here. We want to respond, especially to what was shared last night about being an overcomer, being an age turner. But in order to do that, we need the Spirit. We need the life within. Only the Spirit can be a Christian, and only the Spirit can be an overcomer. So, a lot of times, you could liken this air. It's not only for breathing. Sometimes you put air in your tire, either your bike tire or your car tire. But once in a while, you need to refill. Right? It's hard to ride a bike on a flat tire. Right? It's hard to live a Christian life on a flat tire without air. So we need to breathe. We need to pray to be filled in our spirit. Letter C. How about sisters read letter C together? Okay, we all know that the Lord went through a process. Sometimes it's very easy to share this process with people when you're sharing the gospel by using the wire diagram. I think many of you have seen this in the Mystery of Human Life. Use the wire diagram. It shows the picture that God, the eternal God, became. Actually, there's two becomings. The first becoming is that the eternal God, the Word, became flesh. Right? He tabernacled among us. He lived a normal human life for 33 years. Then what? He was processed. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. Why? So he could accomplish redemption. So he could bring us who were far off, he could bring us near to God. Right? So he went through this process of passing through death. Then we know he was buried, and then he raised from the dead. And in resurrection, the Bible says he became something else. First, he became flesh. Then he became the life-giving Spirit. Right? So who is the Son? The Son is just the embodiment of the Father. And who is the Spirit? The Spirit is just the reality of the Son. Right? So it's not something separate. Right? The Spirit is the Son reaching us. Right? So he went through this process. He was processed and consummated so that he could become the life-giving Spirit, so that he could reach us and become available to us in a form that we could receive. So the Gospel of John, we have a book of 21 chapters. In chapters 1 through 17, we have God just living among men. Then chapters 18 and 19, you see the process of death and resurrection. Then chapters 20 and 21, what happens? The Lord became the Spirit and he breathed into his disciples and told the disciples, receive the Holy Breath, the Holy Spirit. So this bountiful Spirit of Jesus Christ is for the believers to live Christ and magnify him. To live Christ, we need the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How often? Every morning of every day, we must learn to give ourselves to this bountiful supply. Okay, Roman numeral 2 talks about the other aspect or another symbol of the Spirit, which is the living water. The living water is a symbol of the Spirit. So we also know that drinking water is very crucial for the sustaining of our life. During the summer training, I met a brother I know. He lives in Pakistan. I said, wow, I heard it was in the 100-degree temperatures over there. He said, yeah. I said, I heard on the news a number of people were dying. He said, that's true. He said, but you know why they died? I said, I guess from the heat, right? He said, not necessarily. He said they died because they had this thought among the Muslims that you have to fast during a certain period of time. So even in the midst of the heat, the people were fasting and they wouldn't drink. They kept their mouths closed. They wouldn't drink. And so what happens? They got dehydrated and they died. So you think about it. We cannot control the heat. We would like to the last couple of days here. But we cannot control the heat. But we can control our drinking. Right? There's no reason for you to die. There's no reason for a person to pass out because of heat exhaustion as long as you are drinking. So, just a little side note, if you go out today and have a little recreation, make sure you drink. Right? But actually, the physical life is just a picture of our spiritual life. Right? In the heat, you need to drink. Right? You think of that Samaritan woman. What was she? She was in the hot sun. Right? Sin in the world is a hot sun. What happens? She came to the well, and the Lord told her that she needed the real gift of God. She needed to drink the living water. So, this is what we need for the sustaining of our Christian life, for our life within. Essentially, we need to breathe and we need to drink. Exodus 17:6 speaks of the living water coming out of the cleft rock. So you imagine all those children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. It must have been hot out there in the wilderness. Okay? And they needed water, a lot of water to drink. Okay? So the Lord provided out of the cleft rock. Water came forth. And the water was not just to look at. The water was for them to drink. So we know that this is a picture of the all-inclusive Christ, the crucified Christ, who was crucified, and not only blood came out of him, but water flowed out of him, and this water is for us to drink. So 1 Corinthians 10:4 tells us that the cleft rock was a rock that followed the children of Israel. The living water that flowed out of the cleft rock typifies the Spirit as our all-inclusive drink. Okay, the water here refers to the living water that flowed out of the cleft rock, typifying the Spirit who flowed out of the crucified and resurrected Christ as our all-inclusive drink. So many times in our daily life, it gets hot spiritually, and we may get dry. Okay? We need to recognize we're thirsty. You need to drink. Okay, we need a time with the Lord in the morning. That's true. But you can't go eat breakfast or drink something in the morning and not drink the whole rest of the day. We need to drink throughout the day. We need to continually drink of the living water. So John 4 and John 7, the Spirit is symbolized by living water. How about we read this verse in John 4:14? What did the Lord Jesus say? Read it together. Okay, it says, whoever drinks, this water is available, whoever drinks of the water that the Lord gives shall by no means thirst forever. This water gushes up in us into eternal life. Okay, then John 7:38 and 39, let's read that together as a strong spirit. We're about to what?
Receive.
About to?
Receive.
We need to receive. You think about it, the Lord Jesus, when He first came to the disciples, what was the first word He said?
Receive.
Receive. Okay, hear the same thing. The disciples, all the saints, need to receive the flow of the living waters. We need to receive. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, it says we can see that we have been baptized in the Spirit and we are drinking of the Spirit. To be baptized is a matter once for all, but to drink is a continual matter. Even in eternity, we shall still drink of the one Spirit. So if I take this empty bottle, I think like Bill shared yesterday, if a person gets in a bathtub, we'll say what the verse says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? That if you get baptized, you're put into the water. You put this bottle into the water, and if it's open, guess what's going to happen? It's going to start to get filled. Okay? So baptism positions us. You're in the Spirit. And you need to open yourself and receive. Not once for all, but continually. Receive and drink of the Spirit. So, it's something good to consider. I don't know if you've all been baptized here. Actually, when I got saved at that university, I didn't get baptized for maybe close to 2 years until I came into the church life. I didn't even hear about baptism. Okay? Then what happened? I got put into the Spirit. Then the Spirit started getting into me. I started to drink of the Spirit. So getting baptized is once for all. But when you get baptized, you get positioned. And then when you begin to drink, it's a continual matter, day by day. Okay? So when can you drink? You can drink all the time. Right? Even as I'm up here, I get thirsty. I got to keep drinking, keep enjoying the supply. In our Christian life, it's very crucial that we breathe and that we drink. So let's look at Roman numeral 3. We can enjoy the Lord Himself as the breath to us. Okay? So we don't want to just learn these things. These are wonderful truths to learn. But we want to enjoy the Lord as the breath to us. To breathe the Lord in as our breath and drink Him as our living water, we need to do what? We need to call on Him. Okay, there's a variety of ways of calling, but we need to call. You know, sometimes we get into biographies, and actually, if you ever hear the account of Witness Lee talking about how the missionaries went over to China, you know what his testimony is? He said, "I'm so thankful that the missionaries brought us 3 treasures. You know what those treasures are? Number one treasure is the Lord's name." Okay? We might not treasure it that much. Okay? We have the Lord's name. We have the name that is above every name. Right? We have the exalted name of Jesus. How could people in China initially be saved? They could not be saved without the name. Acts 4 says, "There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." Okay? We need the name of Jesus. Romans 10 verse 12 says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right? Then it says, "For the same Lord who is Lord of all, He's rich to all who call upon His name." So the great, great treasure that the missionaries brought to the China was, the number one, was the Lord's name. And number two, as many of us heard yesterday, what's another very, very great treasure the Lord has given to us is the Bible. Number three is the gospel. Okay? Anyway, this morning we're talking about the Lord's name. His name is wonderful. His name is exalted. We need to call on His name. Okay? We can call softly sometimes in your class. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh Lord. If you read the Psalms, you just see that all over in the Psalms. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Lord. Okay? We can call Lord Jesus. Okay? Sometimes we need to cry out and shout. Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus! The Bible says He's rich to all who call. Sometimes you might think, oh, things are not going that well. I don't know why. I just don't. The Lord's not been that real to me, and I haven't really been in the enjoyment lately. Things are not so good. Say, how's your breathing? How's your drinking? Seems so elementary, but it's so crucial, so fundamental, so indispensable. We need to call. You're out in the heat. We are all out in the heat. It's a hot world we live in, full of sin, full of death, full of unrighteousness, full of the world all around us. We need to drink and be satisfied. We need to drink and be supplied. We need a life within. We need content. We need reality. The Spirit is called the Spirit of reality. So we need to drink Him and breathe Him every day. And the Lord has given us such a treasure. He's given us His wonderful name. We can draw water out of the springs of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Our calling, Lamentations 3:55 and 56 indicates that our calling on the Lord is our breathing. And Isaiah 12:3 and 4 indicates that our calling on the Lord is our drinking. Hard to separate these two. What is breathing? What is calling? I wouldn't figure it out too much. Just breathe and drink by calling on the Lord's name. Okay, after we believe in the Lord, we need to call on Him that we may not only be saved, but also enjoy His riches. Right? There's no distinction. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you look at number three, when we exercise our spirit to call on Him, to breathe Him in and drink Him, we enjoy His riches. This is the real worship to God. So on one hand, you can say, well, breathing, I don't have to exercise a whole lot. I just breathe. Actually, you're exercising a lot when you breathe. But sometimes it's good to breathe a little stronger. Right? You go to the gym, get on some cardiac machine, elliptical machine, or treadmill or something, or you just take a walk, you start breathing stronger. It's very healthy to exercise. So we need to exercise our spirit. Need to exercise. Calling. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord. When I first moved to Chicago, I lived in a place right, I think the Lord did this purposely to remind me where I came from. I lived right across the street from a Catholic church. And in this place, they had what he called a grotto with a statue in there. And it used to bother me every day when I would see it. Because one time I read a verse in the book of Psalms. You can look it up sometime in Psalm chapter 115, verse 5. You know what it says about idols? Idols have eyes, but they don't see. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They're dead. Right? But our God is living. And He desires to have a living people. We are not idol worshipers. When I used to go into the Catholic Church, go in real quiet, and you do a few things, and then you shh, just be quiet. Okay? One time recent, a couple years ago, I went to Rome purposely. I wanted to go see those big old cathedrals, go into those places. And while we're in there, we were talking. I forgot. You're supposed to be quiet in there. Why are people so quiet? It's because they're just like the idols. They're dead. We should not be dead. Amen. We should be living Christians.
Amen.
We have a mouth and we speak.
Amen.
Right? We need to open our mouths. We need to use our mouths. We need to call upon the name of the Lord. We are not like the dumb idols. We can breathe in the Lord also by praying, praying unceasingly. We should not quench the Spirit. Instead, we should always rejoice, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. You know, when we came down here, we were serving at the airport, transportation. Maybe a lot of you came through, connecting you with the bus and all that. I'm serving with Brother Tom. I really enjoyed it. You know why? Because Brother Tom just goes, walks around all the time and says, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord." Got me starting to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Okay? It's good to open your mouth. Thank you, Lord. To be a joyful Christian. To breathe, to drink, to give thanks, to pray, to open to the Lord. Okay, let's look at Roman numeral 4. How about read 4 together? Okay, we can enjoy the Lord Himself as the living water to us. You know, there are verses in the Bible that say, cry out and
shout.
Cry out and
shout.
Okay, another good verse is that, you know, the Lord says, we should confess. You know, today there's a lot of people who will not confess. They refuse to confess. But we believers should not be like that. We should openly confess. Individually, personally, when you're having a time, Lord, I confess you are the Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Okay? But even in public, one time I was with a group of saints, and it was way out in the public in a place of recreation, lots of people around, and the saints started confessing. I thought, whoa, here we go. Jesus is Lord. It's good to open our mouths. Confess with your mouth. Jesus is Lord. How about we all confess? Jesus. Okay, A says, as believers in Christ, we need to drink and flow. Okay, it's not only this life flows in, but this life will flow out. One thing we all know, we should go. We should go preach the gospel. We should confess. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should preach the gospel, be the Lord's living witnesses. Okay, but it's hard to do that if you're not drinking. Okay, if the life is flowing in, then it's a lot easier for the life to flow out. If the life is not flowing in, it's pretty hard to get the life to flow out. Okay? So we need to drink and flow. All right? Let the life flow in and let the life flow out. We need to be positioned to drink. To drink of the living water, we must be first be positioned to drink. Baptism gives us this position. We need to be thirsty. It's not bad. In our times with the Lord, even to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm thirsty. Lord, I need Thee. Like the hymn we sang, I greatly need Thee, Lord. I'm thirsty, Lord. Lord, you have to satisfy me. We need to be thirsty. If we sense that our thirst is not adequate, we may need to pray. Let's pray this. Okay, it's good to be thirsty. It's healthy to be thirsty because thirsty leads you to drink. We need to come to the Lord and ask Him. Right? The Lord told that Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask Him and He would give you the living water. We just need to ask Him, Lord, give us the living water. We need to contact God, the Spirit, in our human spirit and in truthfulness. We need to joyously draw water from the springs of salvation by speaking to the Lord and for the Lord. And B, we need to do everything in the inner flow of the divine life, the fellowship of the divine life, according to the divine nature. So you look at all these points. One thing that sticks out to me is these are all pretty active. Okay? You can't just say, Lord, fill me. I guess I need to be filled. I'm pretty empty. It doesn't work, right? We need to exercise. If you look at all these points, we need to drink. We need to ask. We need to pray. We need to contact the Lord. We need to draw the water. These are all good exercise. We need to speak, right? These are all exercises, opening our mouths and speaking to the Lord and breathing and drinking the living air and the living water. Okay, let's all read the focus together and then we'll stop. Spirit of life. Okay, let's pray briefly with your neighbor, and then Ken will tell us how we're going to prophesy.